January 27th, St. Angela Merici, Virgin Third Order. Angela Merici was born in the year 1470 at Decenzano, northern Italy, on the banks of Lake Garda. Even as a child, she served God very fervently. She so loved modesty and purity of heart that she was quite generally venerated as a little saint in her native town. When she was in her 13th year, she entered the Third Order of St. Francis. Soon afterwards, she took the vow of perpetual chastity, renounced all her possessions, and wished to live only on alms. Along with this, she practiced great austerities, slept on the bare earth, and fasted almost continuously on bread and water. Sometimes Holy Communion was her only food over a period of several days. When she was 23 years old, Angela was praying one day in a secluded place, and there she had a vision of a friend who had died a short while before. Her friend prophesied that Angela would be the foundress of a religious institute, which would be devoted to the education of youth, and destined to do an unlimited amount of good for the kingdom of God. That proved to be a great incentive for Angela, not only to lead a life of contemplation, but also to serve her fellow men in active work. She gathered about her a group of young women, and together they went out to give religious instruction to little children, to help the poor, and to care for the sick. Often there were great sinners among those to whom she ministered, and in such cases she did not cease instructing, entreating, and encouraging them until they were reconciled with God and began to lead a new life. Her saintly conduct and the profound knowledge she had concerning even the most difficult questions of theology caused her to be greatly respected by high and low and to be regarded as a saint. In order to escape such honor, Angela left her native town of Decenzano in 1516 and went to Brescia, where a wealthy but pious merchant offered her a house. There she lived, absorbed in God, until the year 1524. At that time, Angela was seized with an ardent desire to visit the Holy Land, just as our Holy Father St. Francis once was. She visited Jerusalem, Mount Calvary, and the other holy places with uncommon devotion. She returned by way of Rome in order to pray at the tombs of the apostles and thus gain the great Jubilee indulgence. Pope Clement VII, who was not unaware of her sanctity, wished to detain her in Rome and did not permit her to return to Brescia until he understood by divine inspiration that in Brescia lay the field of labor for which God had destined her. Due to disturbances caused by war, Angela could not undertake her appointed work until 1531. On November 25th, 1535, her pious society was founded as the Religious Congregation of St. Ursula, who was the special patron of their work. The congregation, known also as Ursulines, spread rapidly and is active in many countries, also in America, where its institutions for the Christian education of feminine youth are blessed with much success. When Angela reached the age of 70, the day and hour of her death were revealed to her. She received the last sacraments with great fervor and was then rapt in ecstasy. While pronouncing the holy name of Jesus, she departed this life in the very hour that had been foretold to her. She was laid out in the habit of the Third Order, holding in her hand the pilgrim's staff she had used in the Holy Land. Thus she reposes in a side chapel of the parish church of St. Afra in Brescia. Pope Clement XIII beatified her, and on March 24, 1807, Pope Pius VII canonized her in St. Peter's Church, Rome. on the conversion of sinners. Consider that Saint Angela, whose pure soul would have preferred to devote itself exclusively to the instruction of youth, did not disdain to interest herself, for love of God, in depraved human beings and great sinners, in order to convert them. As a matter of fact, there can be nothing more pleasing to God than to lead a sinner back to Him. Really, the reason why our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son into the world was that no one should be lost, but that all should have eternal life through Him. John 3:16. The Son of God Himself declares, "I came not to call the just, they do not need it, but sinners to penance." Luke 5:32. If you can look with indifference on the ruination of sinners and not concern yourself at all with their conversion, then you do not truly love God, and you are not a good Christian, no matter how numerous are your pious practices. Consider the great personal benefit you derive from interesting yourself in the conversion of sinners. First of all, you will then have discharged your duty, especially if you have any responsibility in this matter, because the prophet, writing of superiors, says, "But if you tell the wicked man that he may be converted from his wicked ways, and he be not converted from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Ezekiel 33:9. But if, by the grace of God, you have succeeded in converting a sinner, then you have acquired invaluable treasures for yourself. For St. James writes, "He who causes a sinner to be converted from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins." James 5:20. What an incentive, especially for those who themselves have once walked the road of sin. Saint Angela Merici, pray for us.
Thank you.